stuck in a bottle. Never got the chance to touch the sea. But I can't lie, from our first kiss to you, the best me had these arms around you. You make me better than I was before. Thank God I'm yours. The worst me is just a long gone memory. You put a new heartbeat inside of me. You make me better than I was before. Thank God I'm yours. Thank God I'm yours.
Good afternoon and welcome. My name is Matt Saxinger, and I'm a pastor at Christ Evangelical Free Church in Strausstown. It's an honor for me to be here today to officiate the wedding ceremony of Matt Bone and Rachel Keener. Today is a joyful day as we look forward to the celebration of the beginning of a new journey between Matt and Rachel. It's also a day of great significance as the two of them will be making significant commitments before all of us. Ultimately, those commitments are made before God Himself, and so it's fitting that we would begin our day with prayer. Would you please pray with me? Our God and Father, we thank you and praise you for all your love and mercy. Father, we thank you that when you created man, you said it was not good for him to be alone, and so you created somebody perfectly complementary for him. Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for the gift of love. We thank you for how you so perfectly modeled that love for us. We ask your blessing on this service today. In your son's name, amen. You may be seated. Matt, will you take Rachel to be your lawfully wedded wife, to live with her according to God's ordinance? Will you determine to love her as Christ loved the church, giving yourself for her? Will you be kind and compassionate and forgiving as in Christ God forgave you? And will you be faithful to her as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Rachel, will you take Matt to be your lawfully wedded husband, to live with him according to God's ordinance? Will you determine to honor him as the church honors Christ? Will you be kind and compassionate and forgiving as in Christ God forgave you? And will you be faithful to him as long as you both shall live? Well, on behalf of the bride and groom, I want to thank you for coming out to support them. Your presence here today is a testimony of your love to them. The reality is that you have your memories of life with these two, and no doubt that you have played a role in supporting them to become the people that they are standing before us today. Specifically, we need to take a moment to thank Mom and Dad on both sides, because we know that you've went through a lot to raise them and to bring them to this point. You've prayed with them. You've spent a lot of money on them. You've probably cried with them and laughed with them. But today we smile with them because you've done a great job bringing them to this point where they're going to begin their own family. It's with that in mind that I ask, who gives this woman to be married to this man?
Her mother and I.
Well, it's been quite a while since the two of you first met. And for those of you who have not been to a wedding that I've officiated before, one of the things that I like to do is to fill you in on that story so you can understand how these two got to this day. And when I said it's been quite a while since the two of them met, I was referring to the fact that they actually met in this church in a preschool program many, many years ago. And they even have some pictures to prove it, but neither of you remember it. And it wasn't until in eighth grade when you guys ended up at the same school. And Matt, you recall seeing this new girl who, in your words, you'd never seen before. And you thought she was cute. And you had to figure out who this new girl was. And Rachel, you remember, and these are your words, not mine, his long, swoopy hair. You remember his skater look, and you thought he was cute. So now what's interesting is the two of them actually did date for about 2 months, and that didn't work out. And Rachel, that's because you didn't think he was a good kid. In fact, you had some issues with the music that he listened to, so you broke it off. You broke it off. Well, the two of you stayed friends. And you continued to know each other throughout high school. And then you got to the point where after high school, you started to hang out together as friends. And you would you'd go four-wheeling and you'd do some different things. And then all of a sudden, it began to become apparent that maybe there's something more than just a friendship here. And Matt, I think the key moment for you was Rachel worked at the ice shack. And in your words, you would go visit the cute ice cream girl. So eventually things became a little bit more serious, and you went on your first date. You went out to dinner at the Bluebird Inn, and you were a little nervous because, you know, will this ruin your friendship? But the reality was you found something even better than a friendship. And so the two of them continued to date. They continued to ride four-wheelers. That will be a trend here, by the way. They went on hikes. They shot guns together. I see why you like her. So, and Rachel, one of the things that you always thought was fun about your dating is that when he would drive you somewhere, he would sing along with the songs, but he'd always get the lyrics wrong. And while that annoyed you, it also was somehow something that made you think that he's somebody you wanted to be with. And so, Matt, you really started to realize that, you know, Rachel, in your mind, had always been the type of girl that you wanted to be with the rest of your life. And then as you started dating her, you knew she was the girl you wanted to be with the rest of your life, that that she would be the person who, no matter what's going on in the world, you could rely on and you could lean on. And Rachel, you say that you're a tough person to get along with sometimes because you can be moody, and because you like to have everything planned out. Your father is nodding. I'm just going to point that out. But when everybody else would give up on you, Matt wouldn't, and he would just make you laugh, and then everything was okay. And so it became apparent that you wanted to marry her, and so the time came to propose. And you already knew this was going to happen. It was just a matter of when and where and how. And so you took her on a hike to Middle Creek to find the perfect place to propose, but nowhere was good enough. And so you ended up going back to the family farm, and you guys were riding four-wheelers. And I got to give you a little bit of the backstory, because Matt had always joked with Rachel about one day he's just going to pretend like the four-wheeler broke down, and then he was going to propose. Well, they're out riding. They stop to talk alongside a stream, and he goes to get back on the four-wheeler, and it doesn't start. Now, he claims it's not an accident. He claims that he wasn't pretending that it actually didn't start, but you thought he was joking, and you said, stop messing around, and you insisted, no, I swear, I'm not pretending, but maybe this is a sign. And it was at that point that you proposed to Rachel, who, of course, said yes. And that brings us to today. And guys, the story of your love reminds us of an even greater love. And the Bible gives us a caption statement of that love in Romans chapter 5 when it says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. What's amazing about that is that God chose to show us love, but he didn't choose to show us love when we were at our best. He chose to show us love when we were at our worst. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, anybody who's been in love knows that it's easy to love somebody when it's at its best, when everything's going well and you're getting all the things that you desire. But when it's at its worst, that's when it becomes difficult. When the other person isn't doing what you want or they're not speaking to you the way you want, that's when it's difficult to love. And anybody who knows what love is when it's at its worst knows that it takes a great deal of sacrifice to love somebody in that moment. And that's what makes God's love for us so amazing, because at our worst, he gave us the greatest sacrifice, which is his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. You know, I've heard people say before, well, I've done too much wrong for God to forgive me. If he knew all the things that I did, he would never overlook them. And what I tell people when they say that is, that thought is never in the Bible. Not once, not even close. Rather, what we see throughout the scriptures is that when we're at our worst, God's love is at its best. And he's willing to forgive us of our sins if we place faith in his son as the one who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave to give us life after death. It's that love that needs to be the motivation, needs to be the model for the two of you. And I just want to give you two things to challenge you. See, when Matt and Rachel and I met for pre-marriage counseling, I challenged them with the idea of, I don't want you guys to have a good marriage. I want you to have a great marriage. And it's so easy to fall into a good or an okay or even worse marriage. And maybe this afternoon it's a bit of a challenge for you yourself to think about that in your own marriage. But we want great marriages. And great marriages take sacrifice. And great marriages take time and forgiveness. I want to give you two specific challenges for you guys to keep with you. The first one is for you to have a great marriage, pursue unity. Don't let distance go between the two of you. Jesus says, at the beginning of creation, he made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh. And see, in God's eyes, you're no longer two, but you're one. And it's an amazing thing because there's no other relationship like that in the scriptures other than the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's as if God said, I want you to have a taste of what I have in my relationship. And so I will create man and woman to experience that together. And guys, the best way that I can summarize that is, Matt, for you to understand, and Rachel, for you as well, for you to truly be joyful in life, it will come because you have made the other person joyful. Not because you've sought after that yourself, but because, Matt, you said, I want to make this woman happy, and that will resonate within you and bring great joy, and the same for you. And so that means that we think in terms of us, in terms of we, more than in terms of I. It's easy to say, well, this is my money or this is my time. But God put you on this life adventure together. And so it's our money, our time, because that's what unity is. The second thing that I want to challenge you with is that you guys would keep track of how easy it is for you to be patient with each other and to check your own heart with that. See, I've been married for about 9 years now, and actually for 9 years now. Don't tell my wife. I hope this isn't recorded. We just had our anniversary. But I've been married for 9 years, and I've learned that it's harder to be patient the longer that we are together. And what I find is that we begin to value what we want more than we want the other person. And so my challenge to the two of you is to always want each other more than you want other things in life. And that will allow you to continue to be patient with each other. After all, God is patient with us. Psalm 86 says, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. It's God's love that is really the center of your marriage. And as we're about to take vows, understand that those vows are only going to be able to be satisfied fully as you follow God's lead for your marriage. And so, Matt, I would like to lead you in the exchange of vows. I, Matt, take you, Rachel, to be my wife.
I, Matt, take you, Rachel, to be my wife.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
I promise to be your loving and faithful husband.
I promise to be your loving and faithful husband.
In prosperity or in need.
In prosperity or in need.
In joy or in sorrow.
In joy or in sorrow.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness or in health.
Till death causes us to part.
According to God's standards.
Rachel, would you please repeat after me? I, Rachel, take you, Matt, to be my husband.
I, Rachel, take you, Matt, to be my husband.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
I promise to be your loving and faithful wife.
I promise to be your loving and faithful wife.
In prosperity or in need.
In prosperity or in need.
In joy or in sorrow. In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
Till death causes us to part.
Till death causes us to part.
According to God's standards.
According to God's standards.
Matt and Rachel have chosen the ring to be a reminder of their marriage covenant. As the ring is an endless circle until broken by an outside force, it is a fitting symbol of the union of your love, which is to remain unbroken until death. May I have the rings? Matt, do you give this ring and pledge that you will keep this promise and perform these vows?
I do.
You may place it on your bride. Rachel, do you give this ring and pledge that you will keep this promise and perform these vows?
I do.
You may place it on your groom. To symbolize the growth of their marriage, Matt and Rachel have chosen to plant a unity tree. That tree ceremony is something that's practiced in various cultures throughout the world. By planting a tree, it reminds us that you have to care for a tree, you have to nurture it in order for it to grow strong and to be able to withstand the elements. And while the roots are the foundation for the tree, the foundation of your love is Jesus Christ. And as he is the center of your marriage, and you keep him there, he will nurture and anchor your relationship and your marriage. So that in the years to come, whether you face seasons of drought or seasons of storm, you can hold fast and grow strong.
There must be a God, I believe it's true, 'cause I can see his love when I look at you. And he must have a plan for this crazy life, 'cause he brought you here and placed you by my side. And I have never been so sure before like I am in this moment here with you. Now for better or for worse, so much more than only words. And I pray every day will be the proof that I mean what I say when I say I do. Yeah, I mean I do.
Would you please pray with me? Our God and Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the gift of love. We thank you for the patience that you wish to give us. And we ask that it would be patience we could all give to each other. But mostly we ask today for patience between Matt and Rachel as they grow together. Father, we pray for their unity, that in the future they would grow strong together. And with your blessing, they would raise a family that respects and honors and loves you. Father, we thank you again for the happiness this couple experiences. And I hope that all of us get to experience a happiness and joy in relationship with you through what your son Jesus did on the cross. In his name we pray, amen. And now, having heard you make these pledges of your affection and take these vows, I do, by the authority conferred upon me by the Church of Jesus Christ and the laws of this state, pronounce you husband and wife in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matt, you may kiss your bride. It is my honor to present to you for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Bone. Thank you again for coming out and being part of Matt and Rachel's day. We hope that you enjoy the rest of the day as well. I want to let you know if your family and they've talked to you about sticking around for pictures, don't forget about that so they have to come around and find you. And at this point, you are dismissed to a receiving line beginning with the family.
Who cares, baby? I think I want.